Hi, Ethan.
Yes, in addition to the educational or academic background in STEM, you also need to have some practical or operational experience. The work on the space station is very hands-on. We're often taking things apart and fixing them, so any type of operational experience is important. In addition to that, you need good interpersonal skills. You need to be able to communicate well, to work well in small teams, and just be able to get along with other people because you will be confined to a small area in a small group. Those are some of the additional things you need to be able to do. Over. Hi, Dory. The first thing that happens when you get selected as an astronaut is that you have 2 years, typically, of basic training where you learn all of the basic skills and knowledge that you need to be an astronaut. And once you have finished basic training, you're ready to be assigned to a flight. And once you get assigned to a flight, you have a mission where you learn all the specific skills you need for your mission. And that includes learning how to do a spacewalk, learning how to use a robotic arm, how to maintain and repair all the systems on board the space station, and of course, how to conduct all the scientific research that we do up here. Well, I think in addition to a background in STEM, what most space agencies are looking for, both today and in the future, are individuals with a very broad range of skills who are good at collaborating, good at living and working together in small teams. Because in the future, not only will we have long range space station, but we're also going to be sending astronauts further into space as a first step back to the moon, and maybe after that onwards to Mars. So it's very important that astronauts have a broad range of skills, because they will be much more, they will have to rely much more on themselves in the future, and they will have to live for longer periods of time in small groups. Over. Hi, Bethany. Yeah, we have a great community up here. We are typically 7 astronauts at a time on board the International Space Station, representing many different nations. Currently, we have 5 different nationalities up here, and it's just a fantastic team of people, highly trained, highly skilled. We work all day long doing exciting science and technology development, and then we enjoy our free time together in the evenings and on the weekends. Over. Hi, Kevin. That's actually one of the most difficult things to do, because there's nowhere on Earth where we can properly train in weightlessness. There's no room where you can switch off gravity, unfortunately. So the only way we can simulate weightlessness for longer periods of time is to train underwater, which is how we train for spacewalks. But it's still not the same, because there's a lot of drag from the water around you. And so you don't actually learn what it means to live and work in weightlessness until you get there. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges for astronauts, is how do you actually work efficiently in microgravity conditions. Over. Hi, Simona. Microgravity affects us in many, many different ways. You know, first of all, being weightless is very similar to lying in bed. You don't use your muscles, you don't really use your bones to keep you upright. And so your body begins to get rid of your muscle mass and your bone density. So that's why we have to exercise 2 hours every day. Our immune systems are also affected by weightlessness, by the isolation, by the stress that we're under, and of course the radiation, the exposure to radiation that we receive in space. Our vision is also impacted, probably because there's a fluid shift inside our bodies, which increases the pressure in our brain. So many, many different ways that our bodies are affected by being in space. Over. I know. There's not really a time limit. Typically, most missions at the moment are 6 months long. Some missions are a year long. But really, the most important factor is how much radiation you get exposed to, which is why all of us carry a dosimeter on us, which measures how much radiation we get exposed to, and then there's a limit for how long or how much radiation you can accumulate over your entire duration. What I can tell you is that one of my colleagues up here, Oleg Kononenko, when he returns to Earth